here he is.
I got a message from Paul when I said we were at Archway. He said, got to keep it short this morning, Bob. So this is going to be perhaps an expurgated version, as best I can, of what I was going to share today. I wonder how many of us carry responsibilities that we find it hard to get enthusiastic about. I guess there could be things like family responsibilities, those kind of regular chores that we have to do, perhaps around the house. In the division of labour in our home, I have the responsibility, among other things, I should say, for putting the bins out on a Thursday evening, ready for the bin men to collect on a Friday morning. Now, in itself, that isn't such a big deal, you might think, but when you get home late on a sort of Thursday evening from work and you see all the neighbours' bins all sort of beautifully lined up outside at the end of their drives, you know, ready for collection, and outside number 19, that sort of empty space, as those bins still waiting to be filled outside our front door, sit there, and that's the job I've got to do before I can settle down to the evening. I'm making it sound like, you know, it's a big deal, but I can see clearly you're thinking, oh, come on, Bob. Dear, oh dear, get on with it. I was going to show you a little video. I think we won't do that today. I don't think we've got time. Oh, come on. That was a silly thing to say, wasn't it? Okay. There's a little video I've got here of a guy who, this is something I think I might have had to cope with today. I've never had this experience yet. This guy's desperately trying to put his bin out as he sees the bin lorry approaching.
You've got to hold him because I can't.
And so it goes on. I think that's enough. Thanks ever so much. Okay, so, you know, all the fuss I make about my putting the bins out, I've never yet had to face the challenge that poor guy faced trying to put his humble bin out for the bin men. Of course, some responsibilities we find more easy to accept when there is a reward involved. That can make the responsibility more worthwhile. Or when the responsibility is confers a kind of status that recognises our gifts, our talents, our experience, you know, like a promotion at work. That can be quite a welcome change or increase in our responsibilities. Or maybe sometimes there was a guy I used to know who, his church warden, had this gift of being able to make the most mundane request sound as if, make you feel as if you were just honoured to, you know, to do the thing he was asking you to do. Had this amazing ability to confer responsibility and make you feel as if you were just privileged to accept it. That's a wonderful gift to have. Many responsibilities are a mixture of both the kind of the sort of burdensome and the enormously rewarding. And I guess one of the examples of that is having a baby, where suddenly one's life is turned upside down when this new little bundle of helplessness arrives, a bundle of potential, a bundle of need, a bundle of change and development and challenge and joy, and sometimes a bundle of pain. Last week, Paul spoke about two people being given the news of the impending arrival of a new baby. Talking about Zechariah, who had this encounter with the angel in the temple, declaring that his wife Elizabeth, who was very elderly, long past the time of bearing a child, was actually going to conceive and have a baby, and this was going to be an important child in the purposes and the plan of God. Of course, Zechariah didn't believe that, as Paul talked about last week, and therefore couldn't speak for 9 months. Must have been very quiet in the Zechariah and Elizabeth household for that time. Maybe Elizabeth made up for it, I don't know. And then Mary, who was presented with an even greater responsibility when she received this angelic visitation, this angel Gabriel, who turns up and tells her the news that she would carry God's own son, conceived within her by the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to look a little bit more about this kind of the situation that Mary finds herself in. Let's start this morning with this what the Bible tells us about Mary's encounter with this angel. This is in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. What does a young woman do with news like this? There is a sense here of being especially chosen, this sense of being given a responsibility because, attributes or, you know, as a sort of a great blessing. But there's also a sense here of this responsibility potentially bringing Mary a good deal of trouble. She's not yet married. How will she explain this situation to her fiancé, Joseph? And this isn't going to go down well with her mum and dad, her family and the community she lives in. Having a child in those days outside of marriage was considered to be a really bad thing, a serious disgrace in that community, in that culture, especially when the father wasn't even her husband-to-be. This news will surely bring shame on Mary and her family, and great embarrassment and confusion for poor Joseph, who she's meant to be marrying sometime quite soon. So what does Mary do? Well, she heads off on a journey. She goes to see this cousin of hers that the angel has talked about. This would have involved a journey of between 50 and 70 miles, so quite an expedition for young Mary. But the angel has spoken about this child Elizabeth is pregnant with. Surely there must be some significance in this miraculous baby too. And so indeed there is. As Mary enters the home of Elizabeth and Zechariah to find Elizabeth now at least 6 months pregnant, an amazing thing happens. As soon as Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, the baby within her, Luke says, the baby leapt. Now, I've no idea. I've never had this experience, obviously. But the idea of a six-month-old baby inside leaping, it must have been some kick for poor Elizabeth. But it's not only the baby who is glad at this meeting between these two mothers-to-be, because even as Elizabeth feels the kick, the Holy Spirit comes upon her and she cries out in a loud voice, a great blessing on Mary. And even before she's heard the news of Mary's pregnancy, she rejoices in the child that she is to bear. And Elizabeth ends her proclamation of blessing over Mary with these words, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." Mary's long, long journey to visit Elizabeth was an expression of belief. It thrilled Elizabeth and it pleased the God who had given her charge over his precious son. And then we read on, Mary in turn responds with this wonderful song of praise that we find in Luke 46 to 55. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." It seems no matter the trouble that this pregnancy will bring upon Mary, no matter the shame, the embarrassment and the ridicule she will doubtless receive as she returns to Nazareth and a few months later, she knows she is amazingly, wildly, thoroughly blessed. God has done a mighty thing in her. There will be pain and there will be trouble for a while, but somehow Mary sees something of a future where she will be recognized and wonderfully, as a wonderfully, wonderfully blessed woman. But what must it have been like to meditate on the fact that you are pregnant with the Son of God? What an awesome responsibility. To know that this child will, who will do truly amazing and wonderful things, and yet you are the one sort of charged with the responsibility of carrying this child and bringing it into the world. We hear from time to time stories of couples struggling to conceive, maybe going through IVF treatment, waiting and praying each time that that it will be successful. How seriously, how carefully they will take their pregnancy if and when they finally do conceive. How carefully they will watch their diet, giving things up that they might put the pregnancy at risk, doing things that will help the growth and the development of that child within, this gift of God growing in the womb. And I wonder then how carefully, how seriously must Mary have considered the care of the unborn child she was carrying within her. To an extent, as with any mother carrying a child, her life will have been increasingly ruled by the need to live in such a way to guard the precious gift within. As we think this morning on this, the condition Mary finds herself in, her predicament in a sense, I believe we can learn some lessons and take some encouragement from this this scenario. Mary was carrying within her the very Son of God. There's a beautiful verse in Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth in chapter 6, verse 19, that tells us this. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? This reminds us that each one of us who has truly received Jesus as our Saviour and made him our Lord is carrying within us God, the Holy Spirit. And if we can sort of imagine this sense for Mary of the marvel and the wonder and the awesome responsibility of carrying the Son of God within, I wonder if we can allow our imaginations to wonder and marvel at what we carry within us, that we too carry something of God, the presence of God himself. And as Mary considered herself to be blessed, so indeed we too are blessed. As Mary had received this incredible gift, in a sense, within, we too have received a gift that brings with it a responsibility, a gift that is, in a sense, something we need to guard, something we need to treasure, something that we need to begin to change the way we live in order to benefit from this wonderful gift. In reality, a pregnant woman can't do anything to make the baby inside her grow. All she can do is to make her body as hospitable and comfortable and healthy a place for the child within to grow, to develop, and come to full term. And so it is for us that we can't, in a sense, although what we're guarding is the environment within in which the Holy Spirit can do his work. We're looking for an environment within our hearts that is pleasing and compliant with the work of the Holy Spirit. And I believe it's true also that there's a sense in which, in a sense, God wants to bring things to birth in our lives that are conditional on the way that we live, the priorities and the values that we live by, the decisions that we make day by day. So in a sense, it's not the Holy Spirit within that we are protecting. He doesn't need protecting. It is the condition of our hearts we are called to guard so that the work of the Holy Spirit can come to fruition. So God can bring to birth within us the things that he desires, the things that he's looking for. I'm sure that as Mary continued to carry that precious child within her during those 9 months of her pregnancy, her priorities will have changed, her values will have changed, what matters to her will have changed. Like Mary then, we need to change our values, our priorities, our goals to match what the Holy Spirit is seeking to bring to birth within. How do we do this? I believe that one way we do this is to watch our attitudes. I know for myself I'm getting a little more sensitive to when the attitudes I'm expressing and experiencing are not ones that are compatible with the fruitful work of the Holy Spirit in my life. My attitudes are the way I begin to think or feel about something or someone that then begins to affect the way I behave, what I say, what I do. My attitudes are often an expression of what I'm believing about a situation, a circumstance, or a relationship. I've been aware recently for myself of the influence of fear and self-doubt in my life that has meant that the precious work of the Holy Spirit I know has not been able to prosper with those attitudes kicking around in my heart and in my thinking. I have believed things that I shouldn't. I am a flawed human being. If I look at myself, my capabilities, my wisdom, my understanding, then there are many, many reasons for self-doubt. But as I gaze upon the God who made me, who loves me, who sacrificed his life for me, if I take my eyes off myself and put them back on him, then right thinking, right attitudes, and right actions begin to become possible again. And there, of course, there are keys to this. Reading God's word, I am convinced more than ever, helps us in right thinking and encouraging right attitudes within. Learning God's words, as we've heard from Michelle, as she's encouraged to learn the word of God. Again, it changes us within. It helps to create an environment within where God, the Holy Spirit, can do what he really wants to do in our lives. And I believe developing good, authentic, honest relationships in the church of God also helps us. There are times when I can't see the wood for the trees in my life, and having people around me who see things from a different perspective can sometimes help me enormously, especially when they're people who are committed to prayer. So I believe the first thing we can learn from Mary is to honour and respect and guard the place of this gift within, as she honoured, respected and guarded her baby, that unborn child in her womb, so it could grow and develop as healthily as possible. We need to do so because it matters if we're to be fruitful, if we're to be changed, if we're to be effective and see the work of God prosper in this city and in our lives. I believe the second thing that we can learn from Mary is this precious gift within us is indeed a blessing and a privilege. It is good news and something definitely worth putting ourselves out for, you know, guarding and changing our lives for. Even if it costs us our reputation and brings us trouble, as it doubtless did for Mary. Let's review again Mary's wonderful song of praise when she met with Elizabeth. Let's make this our song this morning. Praise and thanksgiving are powerful in guarding our hearts when they're based on the truth of God's word. Mary starts this song in verses 46 to 48. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Let's recognise this humble state that is truly our state before God. I'm afraid I'm too often not very good at this humility thing. But the truth is, I am a whole bundle of desperate need in the things of the Spirit and in the things of God. And God has recognized this. And he's met me in my need and dealt with my need, the most serious need of all, for forgiveness for my sins and my wrongs. And Mary goes on, from now all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. It's incredible to think that we will be numbered against those considered in eternity to be blessed, blessed, blessed. She goes on, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. I'm a receiver of the most outrageous mercy and forgiveness. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. Jesus has performed the mightiest deed of all. He has defeated death for me. He has turned the human order of things on its head. It is no longer the proud and the powerful who will win. The real battle will be won by those who have humbled themselves under God's mighty hand. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty, Mary continues. And I can bring my hunger and emptiness to God and know that he has good things for me, good things for me. And finally, she says, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. He is a God who keeps his promises, as he did to Israel, fulfilling completely his covenant with Abraham. Mary sang this song even though she knew this gift within, this great blessing, inevitably would bring her trouble. And I suspect she sang this song throughout her pregnancy. I can imagine her meditating on this again and again and again, making it. This is my song. I can imagine Mary thinking, this is my song. In John 16:33, Jesus promises something for us that isn't one of those promises that we like very much. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. That's very nice. Thank you, Jesus. In this world you will have trouble. Oh dear. But take heart, I have overcome the world. We're called to guard this gift and allow the Holy Spirit to bring his work to birth in us in a hostile environment, a world full of trouble. Mary would have faced ridicule, criticism, shame in her community. Only Mary and Joseph, once he'd had that wonderful dream from God, and I guess Elizabeth and Zechariah would have really been in on what was going on and what had happened in Mary's body. I wonder if there would have been some in her community when she returned who would have condemned her as a dreadful, unrepentant sinner, calling her really, really bad things. And Joseph considered a fool for believing her story, or maybe worse still, a liar for denying that he was the baby's father. But for us, there's not only a hostile environment sometimes kind of in the world we live in, but there can be a hostile environment in our own hearts as well. Paul writes to the Galatians about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of the Spirit at work within us. But it comes after a warning against what he calls the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh are those desires and influences that will work against the change and the fruitfulness desired by the Holy Spirit. This is how Paul describes this process in Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. There is a battle going on. This verse shows us that it's not only an external battle with the influences of evil around us, bringing trouble in this world, but it is also an inner battle. What is the antidote to the dulling, distracting, deadly influence of the flesh in our lives? The Bible tells us it is the presence, the influence, and surrendering to the Holy Spirit, walking by the Spirit, as Paul puts it. And here's the rub. Here's the big twist in our story, that as we guard the gift guards us. As we seek to live in a way that pleases the Holy Spirit, as we seek to engender attitudes that are godly and good, then the one whose place and work in our hearts we are seeking to guard will himself become more and more and more our guardian, our protector, our helper, our encourager. I wonder if young Mary fully realized the part that the child in her womb would play in her future, that he would become her saviour, her redeemer, and her protector. This is our good news today. As we rise to the responsibility God has given us to live well and rightly before him, God fulfills his greater and more certain responsibility to help and protect us. In Philippians, in Paul's prayer for the church there, in the 6th verse of chapter 1, Paul encourages them with these words, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And so Jesus promises that he will present us one day as a finished work before the Father. In the meantime, we have a responsibility to guard the deposit so that this special gift of the Holy Spirit God has put within us can bring to birth his fruit in our lives. Paul wrote two personal pastoral letters to a young man called Timothy. And in both of them, he urged Timothy to guard what God had given him. In the first letter, 1 Timothy 6, verse 20, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. And then again in 2 Timothy 1, 14, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This very deposit, this very one we're guarding, helps us in the guarding. As we draw to a close this morning, first let us take seriously the call to guard our hearts for the work of the Holy Spirit. Let us recognize that this will mean more and more of our choices, our decisions and values will need to be governed by what pleases Him. And I know my prayer, the prayer for myself is that more and more I will find that what pleases and delights Him will please and delight me too. Mary would have found the responsibility of carrying God's Son would have had an increasing influence on how she lived. Let us embrace for ourselves this responsibility to live differently, to live in a way that encourages and invites this precious work of the Holy Spirit in our lives too. Secondly, let us acknowledge that this really, really is good news. Even when we face opposition from the people and influences around us or sense the battle going on within, when we sense that, you know, certain things in our life, God's putting the finger on some things that we kind of, you know, quite like to do or quite like to have, and you sort of begin to think, actually, you know, there's God's sort of putting his finger on that. It's got to go, or something's got to change. Let us learn how to use God's word to fuel praise and thanksgiving, as Mary did, because this helps us in the guarding of the environment of our hearts. And thirdly, let us trust that the one for whom we guard our hearts will in turn guard and keep and protect us, as he's promised to do. Finally, there's this beautiful, beautiful passage at the end of the short letter of Jude, which goes like this. This is one of my favourite verses in the New Testament. To him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and evermore. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we want to ask you to teach us. Teach us what it means, Lord, to make this space within our hearts pleasing to you. Oh God, please forgive us. Forgive me my foolishness, Lord, when that space is cluttered up with things that don't belong, things that don't matter. Oh God, Lord, please help us. Lord, as we come to this Christmas season, Lord, this time of celebration, this time of seeing family, this time of holiday, oh God, would you be so much at the centre of it all? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that even as we invite you in, even as we seek with all our hearts to create this place where your presence will prosper within us, that you're with us in this, you are helping us in this, even as we guard this place, Lord, you in turn guard and keep us, your people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you for those things that you want to bring to birth in our lives. Oh, God. Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the plans you have for us, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you for what you see in us that we don't yet see in ourselves, of your work, of your beauty, of your purpose. Oh, God, we pray, would you come? Would you fulfill what you've set out to do in us? Let's invite the Holy Spirit to come just once more, just afresh into our hearts. Let's ask him to examine our hearts even now and just shine his light into those places. Lord, would you do this, we pray, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're full of truth, full of grace, full of life. Thank you, Lord, that you're the real deal. You're really what matters. You're what it's all about. Lord, be our everything. Be our all and everything, we pray, Lord. Over this season, please help us, Lord God, to make you our all and everything. Lord Jesus, please come. Holy Spirit, let us guard our hearts. Guard the environment of our hearts, that your work would prosper within during this season, Lord.
David, where have you come from today? Twickenham, okay. So David had to get a taxi, a car, a cab, a train, a sledge. So well done, David. You definitely, if you can make it, anyone can make it. We heard that Callie and the ladies had come by sledge. So well done. So we're definitely God's little family today. Let's stand together, shall we? We're going to pray, ask that God will come and help us enjoy this Christmas time. Now, one of the things we're doing today is we're supposed to be and celebrating Anita's 50th birthday. So we've got masses amount of cake. if the snow gets thick and we're holed up here for some days, the good news is we've got cake. We're good. We're good. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that you bless us, that you work in our lives, you work in any and every situation. And we thank you, Lord, that this day you've made, it's the day you've made. We thank you for the snow. Thank you for, Lord, just a reminder today that how fragile our lives are and how, Lord, we just simply rely on you and your grace. And we just pray for those people that are coming on the way, that you would preserve them from accidents, injuries, and that, Lord, that you would bless, that your blessing would be across the church today. Everyone who's here, everyone who can't make it, we just pray for your richest, richest blessing. And Holy Spirit, we invite you, come and work in our hearts in a fresh way today. Amen. We're going to ask Emily and Bethany to read some of the scriptures, some of the Christmas scriptures. You know, sometimes they're so familiar, these things, aren't they? The Christmas words that we hear. And they're so fresh that we've got an Old Testament reading and then a New Testament fulfillment. And let's just open our hearts and hear what God would say to us today. So Emily, you do, Bethany's doing the Old Testament.
In Isaiah 9:6-7, we read the words of the prophet about the events that will happen in Bethlehem 100 years in the future. For to us a son is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will be accomplished this.
In Luke 2, verse 9-14, we read how the prophecy was fulfilled when an angel appeared to the shepherds that first Christmas. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were afraid. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
A great crowd of people praising God, angels praising God. Let's join them. Let's stand together and let's praise God. Let's give ourselves this morning to worship, to love, to praise Jesus. Grab yourself a seat. Okay, now, it's unusual weather. And so a lot of the things that we were going to do today are looking a little bit doubtful. But it's lovely to see you. Thanks for making the effort to come. Just wanted to talk through a couple of things that we've got coming up over the next few weeks. And this is our last kind of Sunday morning, as it were, over this year. Next week, next Sunday, it's our carol service. The weather forecast is better than today, thankfully. So we've got some leaflets. So I'm going to hand out the leaflets. And these are invitations. And so next week, we're not here in the morning. Well, we are here in the morning setting up. If you want to come and give us a hand setting up, then we're setting up sort of 10 o'clock-ish. So if you do want to give a hand, you're very welcome to come and give us a hand setting up. So that's going to be next Sunday morning. But the actual service is going to be at 4 o'clock. If you're taking part, the musicians have got to practice at 2 o'clock on that day. And the choir, if you're singing in the choir, it's going to be 3 o'clock on that day. A little practice that will run through the choir kind of bit. And if you're appearing, if you're a child who's appearing in that thing, then to come early to practice, to get ready. Just come a little bit early. Okay, everyone's going to email. Fantastic. So that's next Sunday. That's this week's the 17th. Then the Sunday after that, let's go back to 17th. I'm not thinking clearly today. So on the 17th, there's three things to bring, please. We'll begin with F, easy to remember. Bring some finger food. So we want to have a little Christmas tea. So nothing that requires a spoon or a fork. Just send a little bit of either sandwiches or some cakes so we can share with the visitors that are coming. Bring a friend. There's lovely invites. Maybe there's someone who you know that you could invite along, because it's going to be about an hour, just over an hour, the service. And it's going to be really fun. We're looking forward to it. Also, some funds we're going to be taking an offering that day, which is going to be for this India project, which we did last year, which is where we're raising money for a village in India, help with mosquito nets, and also to drill a hole to get some fresh water. So that's last week we raised about £1,700. So if you want to bring some money for that, then that would be fantastic. So that's the carol service. After this morning's meeting, we can have a choir practice. There might just be a few of us, but we'll do our best. So the choir practice after this morning's meeting. And then next week, we got the carol service. The week after that, which is the 24th, which is Sunday 24th, we're not here. We're going to be at Chalk Farm Baptist Church. So the services at Chalk Farm Baptist Church start at 11 o'clock. It's a Christmas Eve Sunday. We're together with the guys at Chalk Farm Baptist Church, and that's 11 o'clock next Sunday. And then it's Christmas morning. Are you ready for Christmas? Have you got all your presents? It's very nearly here. And the Christmas morning service is going to be at 11 o'clock on Christmas Day. And so we're looking forward to that. And then that's going to be also with Revelation Church and Chalk Farm. And then the Sunday after, school is closed over this period. So then New Year's Eve Sunday, again, we're at Chalk Farm, which is 11 o'clock. We're going to be meeting there. And then that evening, the same evening, it's the Watch Night service, which is from 10:30 through to 12 o'clock. Chalk Farm Baptist Church. And then we're back here, same time, same place, usual things, Sunday morning on the 7th of January, ready for the new term, ready for the new year, all that God has for us. Michelle, come and tell us about the verse. You want to say about something about the verse?
Remember it. The verse for December is very short, and lots of people know it. It's a popular one, but it's one that fills you with faith, or can do, fill you with faith about God's goodness to us all of the time. All of the time. So it's from Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. So if you can learn that for Christmas, for Jesus.
Just very quick, the carol service next week. I know when we started the service this morning, there was only the donkey for our nativity play rehearsal, but we have got a few others now. So I will email round to people. We've got Joseph here, which is excellent, and some shepherds. So in the actual carol service, Flame are doing a nativity play. And a little dance bit at the, you know, after the nativity play. And then right at the end, we're going to do this kind of amazing away in a manger. It's Christmas, you know, where they wait. So we need Tribe Shell to hold the big letters and be brief to do that, but to stand behind the nativity scene this time, not in front. So just to quickly throw that out there, because it's our last chance to see everybody. And then sunbeams, little sunbeams, they're going to be angels and stars and have jingle bells. And we have got them some stars, actually. So they're going to come on right at the end. So just to kind of to throw that out there. But we will be emailing and texting people because I know there's so many people not here. And then just very quickly, January, I think, have we got a JPEG for it? There's a safeguarding, special safeguarding meeting on January the 9th. Yes, there we go. January the 9th is the first thing you could put in your diary. We take the safeguarding here really seriously, and we are supposed to, and we do this training each year. This is the sort of one to try and bring in everybody this year. So it's on Tuesday night before the prayer meetings start. They won't start till the following Tuesday. So at Highgate Road Chapel, we have got someone coming down to do it, special guest speaker. It's for absolutely anybody and everybody who's involved with the children or the youth here. Because then you can tick the box and say, yes, I've done the training. It will be completely geared for us here, not sort of wide general training. It's absolutely for us. So that's on Tuesday, January the 9th. If you could scribble that in your diary and come, it will only be about an hour and a half, and it will be, we'll make it as good as possible. And then there's rumours we may have cakes, but they'll only be downstairs. We will have cakes, but they'll be downstairs. So yeah, do put it in your diary. Yes? Brilliant.
Fantastic. Very good. Okay, so the children, the youth, the babies, now's your time to make a move. Okay, you need to be sat next to somebody. So, okay, now the preacher today is very near. He's not actually arrived yet. He's just on his way here. And so while we wait for the preacher to arrive, because he's very, very close, rather than me make it up, what I'm going to ask you to do is this following. Everyone needs to be sat next to someone else. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to ask them, we're going to just do a little bit while we're waiting for the preacher, a little bit of a fun thing, is I'm going to ask you to ask the other person, look back on this year ahead that we've just had, 2017, and think about something that you can be thankful for, something that you could say, I can really be thankful for this. Ask each other, what can you be thankful for for the year 2017? So Archie, ask yourself that question. Yeah. What's that, Jam? Yeah, good point. Okay, the past year, look back on this past year. So look back on the past year and ask each other, what can you be thankful for this past year? So turn in twos or threes if they're that, and ask each other that question, and let's see what comes up. Ask each other that question. Who's brave enough to come and share something that you're thankful for? I'll kick. Bobby's just around the corner, by the way. He'll be here shortly. He's Bob speaking this morning. The thing I've been thankful for this year, looking back over these months, is I'm really thankful for you. I'm really thankful to be part of a church family, especially you, Dan. No, I think that what struck me this year is that we're not all perfect. I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect. But it's fantastic. All right, Angel, stop laughing. But what has struck me is the amazing privilege it is to be journeying together. And that thinking about what it would be to be a Christian on my own, a Christian outside of the body of Christ, a Christian that's just struggling, trying to do my own thing, I just realized how much I would be easily deceived, how much I'd easily go off track, how much easily my heart would go cold. And you know, I've been very encouraged over these last 12 months by you. By individually, by seeing what God's doing in your life, by seeing how you've gone through challenges, how God's helped you through, and that has encouraged me. And so in thinking about the year ahead, it's kind of stirred me up. It's kind of stirred me on the inside to think that, God, thank you for what you've done so far. What have you got for us in this year ahead? What have you got in the year 2018? And I'm looking forward to it. I know that there will be challenges. But I think that the strength in us being together, I think one of the beautiful things that God's given us at this church is unity. We don't all think the same thing. We haven't all got the same opinions, the same ideas, same politics. We've all got different things. But actually in our hearts, there's a togetherness about going forward in what God's got for us. And so I want to say, thank you so much for journeying with me. And I'm looking forward to what God's got for us in 2018. Who else? Who's going to share something else? You've been talking. Nominate the person next to you. David's come up. Let's give David a warm round. Here we go.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. I would kind of concur with that. I think this morning especially, just the challenge of getting here, I've got here about 10 minutes ago actually, and just appreciating you guys. That I mean, when I come here every Sunday, just seeing all the work that's put into getting this place of worship ready for all of us, all the work setting out the teas and coffees, setting up the rooms for the Sunday school classes. I mean, we don't get paid for it. Nobody gets paid for it. You do it because you love Jesus. And we want to continue to inspire each other, lift each other up, and lift up the name of Jesus. And I just, every single day, I'm thankful that I have Jesus, because if I didn't, I'd be off somewhere else. It helps us to be faithful beyond our own strength, I think, having Jesus in our lives. Thank you.
Fantastic. Who else? Dan. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, we got a double whammy here. Preach it.
My wife's just about to do all the talking.
No.
You don't want to talk. No. I'm very grateful that we got married. Yeah, it's about time, isn't it? Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, very grateful. So, I guess, but also, in many sort of different ways, there's been a lot of input into my life, and since I've come to this church as well. So I want to take this time to say thank you to whoever you are, and you know who you are. But everybody, just a great place, isn't it? New Life, I think it is. And I really appreciate sort of your time and efforts, however great or small they are, into my life and believing and following Jesus and stuff like this. I'm also grateful for these two here because they're thinking about getting married as well. So I'm grateful, guys. Thank you. Thank you very much. Sorry.
I think what I've noticed is that whenever there's something big happening in the church, like a marriage or, I don't know, birth, a baby or whatever it is, I think there's a lot of support here, which I really am thankful for. I think everyone's been really supportive of our marriage, so I can only speak for myself, but I've noticed that for everyone else as well. There's just so much prayer. All of our home groups have been a lot about prayer for our flat, and our marriage and our, our role as husband and wife, and it's just been great. I think we're really, really thankful for all of that. I mean, on top of the material things, there have been a lot of material things. We've had a lot of blessings with gifts and our flat and our honeymoon. I mean, endless, endless blessings. I never, 10 years ago would have imagined that we could ever have done at this point. So I think, on top of that, God does provide, and with everyone's support and prayers, it always comes through the way. You never really know it's going to happen, but it does. And, I think it's all through the support and through the love of you guys and your prayers, and through, obviously, God and, his love for us. So I just want to thank all of you and just the continual support we've had. And it's just been a great start of our marriage.
I just want to add, actually, I think there's something very special about loving each other. And that God is able to release, some things that are special to the body of Christ. So I want to encourage everyone to continue in that love and grow in it. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Fantastic. Just like the point that Daniel has made, really struck me a few months ago, just of how the fact that every church has a particular flavour, and the journey that God's led us on is God has led us on a journey of trying, as Dan said, trying to care for and love each other. There's that lovely scripture where Jesus said, they will know you're my disciples by your love one for another. And so there's something evangelistic and there's something very powerful about as we care for one another, as we love one another, even in just little ways, in a real way, an organic way across the church. I think it's released something that I think is very special. And I want us to really value that and to really, in this year ahead, to grow that. Say, God, would you help me, would you help us to grow in our love one for another, that would advertise the goodness of God. It would advertise God's love to people that are new, people that are outside. Anyone else got any little thank you? Thank you for the year that's just gone. Onyeka. Give Onyeka a warm round.
Are you all ready for preaching? Oh, it's such a home. This is my home. I've been in this church for years and I've seen what the Lord is doing. It's such amazing. I thank God for the love that He's put in our heart for each and every one of us. That we can see, even when new people come, they don't feel isolated. They feel warmth. They feel that they are welcome. I've seen so many things happening in this church. And I thank God for that. I thank God because even in the journey of difficulties and worries and everything, there's always people praying for me. I feel really loved. I am so encouraged. So many times I would have crumbled. Is it 2004? I would have crumbled. And then after that, I would have crumbled in so many ways. But brethren rallying around, praying for me. Even when I cannot pray, they are praying. And I can feel it. Even up to this few months ago when I went to Nigeria, things were difficult. But really, when I feel the Lord pushed to the end, that I came back with so wonderful results of what I went for. There are so many things. I really thank God for this church. And I thank you for all of you. Because we care for one another. We pray for one another. We support one another in one way or the other. Even if you don't have one-to-one with anyone, but you can tell that we are all rallying around with each other, praying for one another. That's what church is all about. You go to so many churches. I've been to so many before I came here, and there's a difference. Some people even come to church. You never speak to anybody. They walk away. You don't see anyone. Nobody even noticed that you have been in, but not in our church. I really thank God for that. And I thank God because He has warmed our hearts for one another more and more as we pray for it. He's giving us that grace. And we look forward to 2018 when even those that I've never spoken to, speak to them once, the Lord will warm our hearts more and more to love one another, to care for one another. Even if I've never spoken to you before, I love you. I love you. Because I just yearn. There's so many churches who won't see anybody today because of the state of the weather. But we all long to come here. I said, even if it means that I drive halfway and walk halfway, I'll get here. And look at all of you. You all managed to get here. It's an amazing, because of that love and the warmth for one another. Thank you for our elders and our lovely elders. They go out of their way. They pray for for all of us, regardless whether they know your name. I really thank God for their lives. And we just pray that the Lord will continue to bless them, to strengthen them for the work ahead. Because they are the one that we can see the love. And even that love is even touching other churches that we are now mingling with. There's so many churches that don't talk to one another. But we have other churches now we work with. We love one another. We are going to on Christmas Day. Other churches, we are going to worship together. We are not competing, which is amazing. And it is the blood of the God in heaven who is really knitting us together. And I thank God for that. And 2018 is going to be even better. Yes, we're going to be better. And the Lord will continue to strengthen Paul, Nick, and Bob, and even those that are working under the scenes. And their wives and their families as well. Yeah? So let us keep going. We are marching on to the promised land. In Jesus' name, amen.